I'd like to share with you a message from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 5, and then verse 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. The bones were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life." In verse 10, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast, mighty army." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you not only for your word, but your provisions that you give your people each and every day. We can truly say that we are blessed because we are kept by God Almighty. I pray now that you'd bless the people, bless the hearing of your word, bless the preaching of your word, that it might be for your glory and for your praise. We love you and we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. From this word that we had read in Ezekiel 37, I want to share with you a message entitled, "Dead People in the Pew." Now, I know that message, or that title seems odd, but really it is relevant because if I had simply said dry bones, many of us might not have been able to relate to that. But if I talk about dead people in the pew, then I'm talking about a different kind of problem that relates to the one that was in Ezekiel's day. In Ezekiel's day, we find that the nation of Israel, they were in a place, but they had no function. They had no vitality. They had no life. They had an identity, but they didn't have any strength. Not only was there a loss of energy, there was a loss of enthusiasm. And when you think about the church, not only is there a loss of energy being able to incorporate the power of God into what we do, but there's really a loss of enthusiasm. People don't love the Lord like they're supposed to. They don't worship him as they should. And so really they are in the pew, but they're not really full of life. This title also relates to a dream that I had several years ago. In my dream, I was carried through the church, and pew after pew had people in it, but the people had no life. They had all died in the pew, and I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, what do I have to do with this?" And then I began to justify myself, and I said, "It's not my fault that they're dead." But then the Lord whispered back to me, "It's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. There is something that you can do about this situation." Ezekiel, his name meaning God's strength, Ezekiel was brought into a valley, and never once did he ask God, "What am I doing here?" He knew that his relationship with God meant that not only was God showing him something, but God was also going to do something through him that would be miraculous. Now, the power was not coming from Ezekiel, it was coming from God. But here's something that I noticed. The fact that God led him out into that valley, that place of dry bones, it says something about the compassion of God. God cares deeply about the problems that people face. Some of you may be listening now and you may be wondering, does God really care about me? Before God did anything, he observed and he wanted Ezekiel, the man of God, to observe what was going on in that valley. He led him back and forth to really make sure that Ezekiel was taking in what God was revealing to him. There's so often that we want to throw things at people and we assume that it's going to help them and we don't really understand what the person is going through. God, listen, God is not just concerned about the need you have. He wants to know the impact that it's making on your life. Everybody's life has been turned upside down by this crisis. And if you think for once that we don't have a high priest, If you think for once that we don't have a God that not only knows but is deeply concerned about what we're going through, you need to think again. Our God is one that's concerned about our needs. So he led Ezekiel out and he said, Ezekiel, I want you to see what I see. I want you to know from my perspective what the people are facing. And then after that, God would ask him a question that I believe he asked all of us. And it has a lot to do about whether or not we're going to remain in the pew or we're going to answer God's call for service. So let's just take a look at this thing and let's observe what God is doing in our lives. How did Israel get into this condition? How did they get into this place where they're now, rather than being a nation, they're a valley full of dry bones? How did they arrive at that point? They arrived there because time after time, they had turned away from following God. Rather than doing what God wanted, they did what they wanted. Rather than staying away from idols, they worshiped idols rather than the living God. Now, you can say what you want to. Much of what goes on in our country is idol worship. Now, we may not bow down to statues, which some may, but our God is money. Our God is our own ego. And in many cases, our God is ourself. What we've got to understand is that the living God is the one who gives us life. And if we ever sever that relationship with him, then death is certain. The book of Romans tells us about the impact about when we don't serve God, when we don't do his will, the number one cause of death everywhere is the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, but it doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. As a result of their rebellion and as a result of their rejection, God led them into captivity. The Babylonians took over that nation in about 587 BC, and that nation was invaded. Their temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was decimated. And now the people that knew God, the people that had the name of God upon their lives, that mighty nation now was in captivity. They were now being laid out. They were no longer the ones that God wanted them to be. But let me tell you something. Just because you feel like you've lost everything doesn't mean you've lost it all, especially when you serve a God who's able to not only bring it back, but to give it all back. God, listen, God works in our lives. He brings about redemption. He brings about the replenishment. He brings about the restoration and the resurrection. When you think about God, he does these mighty things in our lives. Let's turn our attention for a little bit at the church. Let's look at where we are today. Many of the churches had grown apathetic. Rather than people singing in the choir, they just expected to be entertained. They wanted people to serve them. Rather than doing the duties of a church member, many of them were comfortable in the pew. And what I found out is that inactivity long enough breeds death. So we have dead people in the pews. They're not going, they're not growing, they're not doing anything except taking it all in. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dead Sea takes in a lot of water, but it doesn't grow a thing. The church has become spiritually apathetic, and because of that, you have this condition of dead people in the pew. Now, here's the question that we have to ask ourselves. How do we get spiritual equity if we take away our buildings? And if we take away our finances, where is the spiritual equity in the church? If you take away your music and you take away your entertainment, where's our real witness as the people of God? If you take away the conferences, the programs, and the position, where are the people that say they are going to love the Lord and not only love the Lord, but serve the Lord? What you're left with is dead people in the pew. Ezekiel was overwhelmed by this, by what he saw. And you can feel it in his words when he begins to look at the bones. And not only are they dry bones, they are very dry. They've been in that condition for some time. And the church has been in this condition for some time. And ladies and gentlemen, God is not pleased with this condition. But rather than bringing about judgment, God wants to bring about something else. He wants to bring about a resurrection and a revival. He wants to bring about a renewal in the life of his church, because we didn't get here by our own witness. We didn't get here by our own power. We got here by the grace of God. And by the grace of God, we will rise up. You're going to see something as we look at this condition, the condition that they were facing. Ezekiel being led out. But then in the middle of seeing all of that condition, God comes to him and asks this one question quiz. Ezekiel, can these bones live? And the people are asking the question in our day, what is the relevance of the church? Why do you even have a church? It's just an old museum. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. God is not finished with his church. Yes, we got a problem of deadness, but we're going to come back to life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ezekiel describes the problem. He says, now here's the condition. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And he brought me out by the Spirit of God into the middle of this valley. He led me back and forth through the valley. And all I could see was dry bones. In my dream that I had, all I could see were people inactive, not doing anything. Have you ever noticed that there are more people quitting the church than there are joining? There are more people not doing anything than those who are going forth and saying, Lord, if you lead me, I'll follow. Have you ever noticed that? Ladies and gentlemen, we have a condition of dead people in the pew. But I want you to notice something. The condition was bad, but it was not hopeless. The condition was one thing, but what God was going to do would be another thing. When the Lord had shown Ezekiel all of these things, then he asked the question, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Will the church be the church? Can we live? Can we exercise the power of God? And Ezekiel, being a man that wouldn't rely on his own understanding because he knew God, he said, Lord, you know. I can't tell you about tomorrow. I don't know about the future. But one thing I do know, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He does not alter. The Bible says in James, with him is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The Lord God Almighty is the same. Now, I change. My emotions change. All of me, I change. And so rather than giving a question based on my own understanding, let me give a question based on what I know about God. I don't know everything, but I know God. I don't know what all the things that he's done in the past, but I can tell you he's able to do everything because he has a will and a purpose. So Ezekiel said, Sovereign Lord, you know. This brings us to our first point. Our first point of being conditions were bad, but they were not hopeless. The fact that God had showed him this meant that God was going to do something about this. But then our second issue that we come to, our second point that we want to make, is that they were called to the valley. The call to the valley was really a call to action. God is saying to his people right now, in the midst of this crisis, you can do something. Don't worry about doing everything, but just do what I tell you. So in his answer, when Ezekiel responded, God graded him an A because Ezekiel didn't lean on his own understanding. He said, Lord, you know. And then he got a reply back from God, and he said, Ezekiel, let me tell you what I'm going to do. If you will prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, then what I will do, I'll breathe life into them. But if you move first, then I'll move. If you get out there by faith and trust me, then you watch me, and I'll do extraordinary things in your life. There's one thing I learned being on the farm. And it's this, if you don't plant it, it won't grow. I may not know a lot about farming, but 18 years on the farm, I never saw anything grow that wasn't planted. You got to plant it. So here's the point. The church of the living God has to get back into planting what they know. You don't plant ideology. You don't plant social development. You don't plant the power of man. What you plant is the word of God. How do you plant it? Just speak it. Speak it. Begin to say what God is doing. If God is great, say so. If the Lord is your shepherd, say so. If the Lord is the light of your life, say so. Every time you say it, not only do you bring life to yourself, you bring life to those that hear it. It's called encouragement. It's called empowerment. It's called a move of the Spirit. It's called the grace of God. It's called the love of God that raises people up. We don't have to be dead people in the pew. So we've described the condition. Dead people in the pew. Valley of dry bones, they're all the same, lifelessness. Then we've also looked at the issue of our calling. What has God called us to do? Why would he show you something if he wasn't going to do something about it? But secondly, if he wasn't going to engage you in doing something about it. Ezekiel, every time his name was called, it meant, I get my strength from God. I get my energy from God. And do you not know that you would not be able to get out of your bed if it were not for the power of God? Now, the same God that got you out of your bed can also get you on the move for his glory. This same God can empower you as a church member. Yeah, the one you used to go to and now you can't go to. So now you're saying, well, that gives me a break. Well, you'd take a break all the time. You'd been taking a break all the time. You hadn't been in the last couple of months anyway, probably years. And now God is talking to you. Yeah, you. He's talking to you and saying, it's time to get back up. I need you to do something. And the wonderful thing about it is that his grace didn't turn away from you. What you normally do with dead bones is you bury them. But God says, I'm not going to bury them. I'm going to raise them up. Speak the word, Ezekiel. And the man whose name was, I get my power from God, spoke the word. And guess what happened? The bones began to come together. First, there was a shaking. And then the bones came together. And then as they joined together, sinew began to develop over those bones, and they became a mighty army. Ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to our last point. We've got to look at the conclusion and not the problem. We have our eyes on the problem. Do you not know that there are people who are thinking so much about this coronavirus that they're assuming all that can happen is this? But guess what? You're not dead yet. And until you die, keep on keeping on. Now, use the precaution. Wash your hands. Wear a face mask. Don't get close to folk. Amen. Don't touch your neighbor. Not right now. If you do, touch them at a distance. But the point is, you're not dead. You're not dead. And if you're not dead, then God has a purpose for your life. If you're not dead, he has something that he wants you to do. No, he may not bring you to a valley. He may not even bring you to a church, but what God will do is bring you to a situation where he wants to use you to do something about it. Now, will you respond by walking away? Will you respond by saying it's none of my business? Will you, like me, when I saw the vision, say, Lord, I don't know what I can do about this. It's not my fault. Or will you say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Use my hands. Use my feet. Use my mind. Help me to do what I can because I get my strength from you. Your name may not be Ezekiel, but I tell you what, you may as well call yourself by that nickname because you get your strength from the Lord. You don't get it from the other things of life. You get your ability. You get your power. You get that from the Lord. So here's the conclusion of the matter. God had already seen what was going to happen. God already knew the impact of giving forth his word. As a matter of fact, you read in your Bible, whenever the word is spoken, something happens. In the beginning, there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and God spoke and said, let there be light. Then he spoke and said, let the earth bring forth. Then he spoke and said, let the waters be gathered. All of these things happen because of the spoken word. The conclusion of the matter is not a valley of dead bones. The conclusion of the matter is not dead people in the church. The conclusion of the matter is that when the word is given out, people rise up. When the word is spoken, people develop faith. When the word is spoken, people are empowered to do the will of God. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel says, as he writes in verse 10, he didn't allow the negativity of that moment to creep into his mind. Ezekiel saw the compassion of God on the people, and he wanted to get involved. So he said, I prophesied as he commanded me. I did what God told me to do. I prayed for that person. I shared with them a word of God. I tried to encourage them. He said, I did what God commanded me. And breath entered them, and they came to life. Now, here's the point. They didn't just come to life to die again. They came to life as a mighty army. They stood up as the army of the living God. There's a question we used to ask in an old song. Am I a soldier of the cross? A carrier? A bearer of the Lamb? Am I walking with Jesus as a soldier? And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him until I die. Soldier, it's your time to come to life. And all you've got to do is take that word of God, which is your weapon. Take that word of God and begin to share it. When we become obedient, amazing things happen. When we humble ourselves and pray, amazing things happen. We can speak to a valley and God will cause, amen, that valley of dry bones to come to life. We can speak the word of God and say, hey, church member, why are you sitting there? Why do you stand there idle? Because God has a job for you to do. The power of preaching is not just to get people to lift their hands, but also to use those hands to glorify God. The power of preaching is not just to get them to say amen, but speak a word to your neighbor. The power of preaching will raise up a nation. The power of preaching will heal the world. If we would just say, God, I want to share your word with somebody that needs to know about Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, either we're just going to walk away or we're going to obey God. And we're going to say, Lord, I'm tired of dead valleys. I'm tired of dead churches. I want to be a living saint and serve the living God. The power of preaching will empower the world and empower our lives because it releases the power of Jesus' name. There's not a name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Preach that word. What did Jesus say? Go into all the world. Preach that word. Release it on people and watch God move in a mighty way. God bless you. No more dead members in the pew. We've got living members on the battlefield.